Let's light this candle after I say hi to Janice Gusevin. Welcome to the first quarterly analyst call for the Daily Tech News Show. I'm Tom Merritt. This is Jenny Josephson, my producer. How are you, Jenny?
I'm doing very well, Tom.
I'm doing a good job of being boring, but I'm not doing a good job of the awkwardness of an actual earnings call.
Right.
We need more like awkward pauses and then people like kind of coughing in the background.
I feel like what you need is that continual beep, 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 beep,
beep, yeah. Beep, beep, beep. Yeah, we need to get a sound effect like that to just run in the background.
Or I could just going beep, 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 beep.
So in all seriousness, the point of these is to keep y'all updated on what we're doing with the show. If you're a backer on Patreon at the early warning level, you get regular missives from us. But this is a chance for us to talk a little more in detail. And if you're a backer at the analyst level, you get a special Skype number that you can call in and ask a question about. The way that's going to work, after Jenny and I go through a few things that we just want to talk about in general, we will open the phone lines. And what I'm going to ask you to do, we've got a good dozen analysts over there hanging out on Skype. If you are somebody who wants to ask a question, just write it in the messages part of Skype, and then I'll call you. That way we don't get a bunch of people constantly ringing us through the Skype. So, I'll repeat that again when we get to the end. We have a survey still going on at dailytechnewsshow.com/survey. And Jenny and I have been having a good time looking through that. It's been really, really good feedback, don't you think?
Yes. I'm always amazed by the number of people that respond to us each time we ask. It's so heartening.
Yeah, we've got a little more than a tenth of the patrons, although I bet they're not all patrons. In fact, some of them say they aren't in the answers. But this is incredibly valuable insight. It's not that we are a democracy. We're not. We just sort of look at the qualitative makeup of all of this. And we look for trends. We look for things that people say consistently so that it's more than one person. And that makes sense to us. So it's an objection that maybe I could see. Maybe I've even thought about whether I should do it or not. For instance, news from you. If you've noticed, we've just gotten rid of the separation between calling out two subredditors and the rest of the headlines. We're just calling out the subredditors when we get to their headline. So
yes,
that is something that came out of that survey.
Yes, and I like it because it's like the show works and it's a good show, but there are always these like fine-tuning tweaks that you can do to just evolve it a little bit. And I think I love that idea of sort of just making it all the headlines.
Yeah. And I think that helps. And that's how the show gets better. To me, the show is never done. And some people are like, oh, stop asking us. Just do your show the way you want to do. And don't you worry, I will. We will definitely be doing this show the way we want to. But it's helpful to get outside perspectives and outside ideas. So it's less, please tell me how to do the show. And it's more, share your ideas about the show with me, and then we'll totally collaborate. And I won't take every single idea, and Jenny won't either, but it'll help us understand. Some people, it's funny, did you see the ones about the show's length?
Yes. Wait. Were there more than one about the show's length?
There were a few.
Okay,
some
which one
saying
are we talking about?
They want it to be 30 minutes. Some saying they want it to be an hour.
Right.
I feel like we're probably right at the golden point, though, because there are a few people who would like it to be shorter, a few people would like it to be longer. That's usually a sign that you're hitting it right for most people,
right.
I think.
And I kind of feel like, if you got to go and you've made it through the headlines, there'll be another discussion tomorrow. It's okay. You know, if it's just a little bit longer than your particular commute, you'll be all right. You'll be all right.
Yeah, absolutely. I always tell people when I meet them in person, if they say, oh, I'm a little behind, I'm like, just skip ahead. Skip forward.
We'll
you can look at the
tomorrow.
Show notes and kind of get the gist. And I know it's not as fun because the reason people like to listen to the show is hear the conversation. And if they want to go back and listen to all of that, that's fine. I'm not telling you not to, but don't feel like you have to. Mm-hmm. It's the kind of show that, because it's about news, I feel like you can definitely skip back to current. Or do both. Like start listening to current, and then when you have extra time, go back, pick up the ones you missed if you really want to hear them.
So, by the way, the reason why I've been distracted is because Scott has been slacking to me behind the scenes, and he suggests that if you want to talk, because he's stuck in the car, to just call him on that Skype line at some point if he wants to, if you want him to check in, because he's like away from the rig, but you could just call him.
Let's do it. See if he picks up.
This was his plan, so.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, Scott Johnson.
Good plan, Scott. No, I'm just kidding.
Fine, Scott.
He's in this car. Hope he's not driving.
No, if he's driving, we're going to hang up the phone. All right, we'll call him back.
It didn't work. All right. Anyway, we'll probably put out another survey based on some of the ideas from this one, with maybe a more multiple choice type feel towards the end of the year. Mm-hmm. But it's really, really helpful for us. So thanks to everybody who's filling it out and continuing to fill it out. We are also, one of the things I'm trying to do based on the survey is tightening up the email, because it wasn't a huge number of people, but some people said, well, if I had to pick a thing that I don't like as much as the other, it's the email, because they're not always relevant. And to me, I feel like the problem is we read an entire email and it's a little wordy and it's not our voice, and people just start to tune out, like, I don't know who's talking anymore. So I'm trying to tighten those up and get like just the main thought from the emailer so that we can get to conversing about that particular idea or thought. And that's something to keep in mind if you're emailing us. The tighter your email, the more chance that I'm going to pick it to read, because that's less things that I have to do to manipulate it. Same for the pick of the day, too.
Yeah, and I think I have, when you've been away, been responsible for longer emails, because I don't like to cut them as much, because I think you have a better sense of, you know, what the really strongest editorial nugget is. So sometimes they were like a little long when you were away, but we could do.
Well, that's the other thing about the survey, right? There were several people talked about the audio quality, and I know for sure that had to do with a particular episode that they filled out the survey after hearing, and it's an unfair ask at that point because it's fresh in their mind, even though it doesn't mean, you know, somebody told us we should get rid of the calendar too, so
right.
We did that last year, so that person hasn't been listening. Another person didn't like it when Adam Carolla was on the show. We've never had him.
Nope.
I don't know,
maybe that was Adam Curry.
I'm sure that's exactly what they meant, but let's see, video level. Will we ever get there? That's up to you. Here's just to reiterate the video level. We do video, and it looks decent on my end because I already had the setup. But I really do consider it an audio podcast, and that's why I feel horrible when the audio doesn't go well, like it did last Friday at DragonCon. The video version, I would like to have somebody who's able to record locally, so that we're not reliant on the YouTube version that's kind of weird. It's there, but it's kind of weird. I would like to have somebody who can put in lower thirds on the fly, put up full screens of pages, things like that, just to add a little reason for you to watch the video. Now, at the same token, I know a lot of you guys just like to listen to the video. Maybe it's because you use YouTube, or you have a Roku and you like to have it on the YouTube, or you're a DiamondClub.tv watcher. And so I'm not going to stop doing the video, but it is not where I want it to be. And so if we ever do get more momentum and that Patreon gets up there to that next level, I would like to make the video official and make it just, I'm not going to make it crazy better, right, Jenny? I mean, we just want to make it pretty.
It's just to shining it up a little bit.
Yeah.
And, having just a little bit of those video things. I mean, we're never going to have like multiple cameras and multiple angles, and there will be no jib. But it would be nice just to have like a certain level of polish. I guess the question for me is, what would it take to get us to the video level? Like, what do people need? What do people want to see from us to get us over that? It's a long way away, really, if you think about it. Is it is it something that we could do, or is it just a matter of like getting more people in, or what? I don't know. I don't. That's a
rhetorical question. And it's a little bit preaching to the choir on this particular video, right. I know, because most of you already back the show. That's how you know about this. And that's why you're interested in watching it. And so, yeah, promoting, telling people about it, all that sort of thing helps. But we're open to ideas. If it comes to you, and even if you tell us an idea we've already had, that's fine. I would rather have more ideas than fewer ideas. There are certain things we don't want to do, right? Like take advertising, for instance, because I think that violates the underlying contract and ends up making us less money. And making us less money will not get us to the video level. So, all right, shall we go into the money? We're going to actually do a little earnings for you. Scott Napier sent me an email in July just asking, like, where does all the money go? And he's a backer, so I felt perfectly comfortable telling him. And we thought, and Jenny actually thought, it would be good to sort of break it down a little bit. Scott had asked, like, how much is Bitcoin? How much is PayPal? How much is Patreon? The majority is Patreon. Bitcoin is negligible and also volatile in what it's worth. So I kind of consider Bitcoin donations a nice gesture by people. There's one guy that gives us 20 cents of Bitcoin every day, which is awesome. But it's not something we can budget on exactly. It's just sort of a, you stick it over there for a rainy day, or maybe we'll be able to spend it on something cool one day that takes Bitcoins. But we've received 1.8 coins in the 20 months of the show. and that's not nothing, but what is that? What's the Winkledex? Should we look that up?
The Winkledex, right.
What does the Winkledex say? To the Winkledex!
I just want to say that all day long and into the night. Winkledex.
By the way, it's Winkdex, but I prefer Winkledex. I think it should be Winkledex.
Yeah.
$237.68. So over the course of 20 months, we have received just shy of $600 worth of Bitcoins.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Actually.
Yeah, it's not bad. But again, that's not going to pay for purchases.
Do they just sort
of
sit there in a hard drive somewhere and hang out?
Yeah, they sit there in our Bitcoin wallet.
Okay.
And they keep each other company.
So like long-term bonds.
Yeah, okay. Right.
Yeah.
PayPal this year has averaged about $300 a month. So again, if you compare that to the Patreon, which is $16,000, it's a very small slice. It's an important slice, but it's a small slice. And merchandise is a little less than $100 a month. Now, keep in mind, that's our cut, right? Hello, Roger.
Hey, it's Roger.
$100 a month is what we get after we pay the distributor and the people who make the stuff and all of that. So that's our sales profit, not revenue. Is that how you?
Yes.
Not how you say that? All right. I don't count. I don't count any of that towards Patreon goals because it is so small. It doesn't
That's like one plane ticket a quarter to something. It's like the extra stuff.
The way I structure it is Patreon is the predominant source that pays for the running of the show, and everything else is sort of capital expenditures. Mm-hmm. So we need to buy a new computer. We've got some socked away from PayPal and et cetera. Patreon itself is less than you see on the main page. There's the cut that Patreon takes. There's the cut that the credit card companies take. And then there's the declined cards, which are always a good 20 or 30 every month that just don't pay us anything. So, for example, in August, we had a final pledge total of $16,046. And after fees and declined cards, ended up getting $15,906. Which is a better ratio than usual, frankly. It was pretty close. Usually it's about 87% of what you see pledged is what we end up getting.
Yes.
All right. So there you go. There's the money. Jenny?
Yes.
You obviously, you know, as do I, have other projects. My other projects are, you know about, they're Connected Tech, Cord Killers, Current Geek, FSL Tonight, etc. But Jenny, I have highly encouraged to get other projects as well. That's kind of the idea of DTNS, is it's a launching pad to help people do other things. So Jenny's getting other projects too.
Yes. So I think you guys know that this past 3 months I've been teaching at the New York Film Academy, not New York, in their Burbank campus. And I've been teaching new media. And what's been really cool about that is that being on this show for the past year, almost 2 years now, has really helped me put together the sort of like Tom Merritt view of the internet. And it's been really fun to teach that to film students who really have things they want to put on the web but might not completely understand the web. And my proudest moment of like the whole class was when at the end of it, I must have asked them this 600 times during the semester, is what is the internet? And every single one of them in unison said, an interconnected network of networks. And I was just like, yes. And then also, I've been doing a little tiny bit of consulting on the side, and there's a little more consulting out there. And that's always been part of my thing I do anyway, which is if you ask certain people around the internet, they might tell you that I just help them. So now I'm taking that one step further and helping for a small fee. And so I've been doing that for people, and now I'm starting to do that for companies. And so I think that the operative thing is, Tom and I were talking about this, right, which is how do we let you, the audience, know when we, either one of us, is doing a gig that may involve a company that we report on, and how do we remain fair, but also how do we protect the confidentiality of things that maybe aren't as shareable, like the New York Film Academy thing. And so I feel like what we came up with, and you guys can tell us however you want, whether you think this is a good idea or not, is we will just tell you, like Jenny is doing some consulting, and if it is a company about which there are headlines or a discussion section, then I don't do them. And we did that the last time I was working and giving some advice to a company that we do report on, and that seemed to work out fine. But we'd be interested in hearing what you guys have to say about that and how much detail you want to go into and what we can do to make that work. Oh, wait, now I can't hear Tom.
That's because I muted myself. Yeah. Scott Johnson's here.
Hey!
Oh, hello. Hi. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay, sorry I'm late. Long story. But I'm here.
No worries. But you're out and about, right?
I was. Actually, I'm back now. I barely made it. Traffic got weird, and then it got open, then it got weird, and then it opened again. So yeah. I'm fine now. All right. Everything's fine here.
Can you get into the Hangout now, or are you...
I'm going to sure give that a try.
All right.
Now that I'm here.
Yeah. Will you give that a try? I'm going to... The last bullet point before we get to the analyst Q&A portion of our show... is the Daily Tech News Show store. I try not to flog this too much because I don't want to really hurt the... I don't know. I don't want it to come off as a commercial, but I also want to let you guys know what's there. So anyway, I figured I'd just tell people, like, hey, what do you want in the store? Let us know that. We'll probably put that in the survey at the end of the year. And in case you didn't know what was in the store, we've got a Daily Tech News Show mouse pad. We've got What's a Poor Normal to Do art from Jenny Josephson. We've got a DTNS mug, DTNS shirt, Daily Tech News Show mobile device charger, a Daily Tech News Show flask, a Born Ready t-shirt.
A popular one.
My Wife Works for YouTube t-shirt, DTNS decal to put on your laptop. Mm-hmm. There's still the Nerdtacular shirts that you can buy, and even the 2015 tech history calendar, although that one's probably at August, not as useful. We should probably yank that out of there. But yeah, so that's the stuff we have in there, and if there's things you would like to have with the DTNS logo on it or something like that, let us know.
Yeah, we're open to suggestions. Hey, look, it's Scott Johnson. Oh, hang that Skype up.
So many Johnsons.
Hang on.
There we go.
There.
Hey, it's Cam Twist.
There we go. Oh, damn it.
Twisting the cans.
Going good so far.
Twisting the cam away.
No worries, man.
See, nobody sings on any other quarterly call.
Hey, one of the analysts here just now, Howard, said abstaining is the perfect solution to that. I think he was talking about taking outside gigs.
Mm-hmm.
I don't ever take a paid gig where a company that I will cover is going to pay me directly.
Right.
So Connected Tech was an experiment in that the production company is paying me, and then their sponsor is paying the production company, and that's a little close, but I wanted to see how it went. And once it's all done, I'll evaluate it with you and tell you how I think it went. But I won't do consulting for companies we cover. And I think that's a little different being the host versus other things. So
yeah, and I think the other thing just to say is I can see where it gets sticky, and I think it's a thing that we can revisit as these quarterly calls go on. But I think one thing I would say is I spent 15 years in daily journalism. Like, I have a really, really strict internal meter about separating reporting and news from things I'm doing. And I that involves like a level of trust that may be hard to, or maybe I haven't earned or whatever, but I just don't do that. Like, there would never be a situation where I would compromise Tom Merritt's Daily Tech News Show with anything I was doing. Like, that is not in the playbook. So anyway, I don't know. Food for thought.
Okie doke. Scott Johnson, how you doing?
I am good. Do you hear me fine? Everything's fine.
Great. Yeah, yeah. Everything's good. Nice Utes hat.
Thanks. Well, actually, I think it's just Salt Lake City.
Utah. Oh, it's just Salt Lake City.
You know, I've got a daughter now taking courses up there, so I may as well represent.
Got to represent. Yeah. Okay, so analysts on the phone, on the Skype, just text me and let me know if you're ready to talk. I'm going to go with Philip first because Philip was calling earlier, and I know he wants to talk. So we'll go ahead and call up Philip. But everybody else, just tell me in chat on Skype if you're ready. Philip, how's it going?
Great.
Thank you. Thank you for joining the call. You have a question? Do you hear us?
Oh, sorry, I can't. But I have...
Did you not turn down Google your radio? Hangout,
the back of the
caller.
Remember to mute your Google Hangout.
It's harder. I'll tell you what, it's harder when it's in the same computer. I find that difficult.
Right. Yeah. You remember the days when... 7-second delays were a thing we created, and today it's just required. There's just no way around it.
So. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they don't give you a nice volume level on the Hangout, do they?
Yeah, no. Philip, what you got going on?
Oh, it's funny. I was mentioning, I guess that was Tom, who was I texted in Skype. Totally randomly, last night in New York, there was a Twit community meetup, and there were like hundreds of people there, and I talked to so many people, and they all listened to this show.
That's great.
Listened to GT. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was really cool. And when I mentioned that this call was happening, you know, a lot of people were like, oh, man, that's brilliant, and they wanted to get in. So,
like, well, thank you for your support,
get a few
boss.
New Patreon people there. Yeah. Right on.
What do you think of our show? What's on your mind?
The video thing is really interesting, and I'm always fascinated by when people make the switch to do official video over audio. Do you think about that in terms of how would the video bring in a certain amount of viewers? Like, does it have to expand the audience enough? Is that one of the main considerations in addition to the technical complications?
Yeah, I think it's the opposite. I feel like there are people who want video versions out there, and we can tell that because with the crappy version that we put out, it still gets a lot of people watching it. And so I feel like it's something that the audience wants, but how bad do they want it is the question, right? And so if we get enough people who want it, then we'll deliver it. But to me, it's less about making the show more accessible to people and more about satisfying demand.
Yeah. If I might add, I think I actually have found, I've definitely an audio, you know, I began an audio listener. Well, that's all we had was audio, and then video came around. And when shows started offering video, I thought, well, why do I, you know, I just walk around. I'm happy just to listen to it as I always do, or on the go. But once I started watching, after a while, it feels really weird to be just listening. And if you have any way of getting the video, you do it. Like, I would actually pull out my phone or something if I was just in a cafe sitting there, and I'll have lunch. And in fact, so I watch the Google Hangouts version on YouTube, and that's become something that's just a regular thing that I watch. I sit on lunch or whatever in front of my TV, and I watch the show. So I feel like for stickiness, it's an interesting thing, the video.
Yeah, it gives you that more direct connection, right? Because yes, you're actually seeing the people's reactions and their faces. You are among the 14% of survey respondents who watch on YouTube. Mm-hmm. What? Yeah, it's a total of 25% use Pocket Cast, 10% use Downcast, 12% audio on iTunes. It is pretty overwhelmingly audio, but there's a good chunk that watch it on the YouTube.
Yeah, I was talking to a guy from PodTracker last night, and I had said to him, I had heard that the ratio generally for a show that had video and audio was that you get about 3/4 audio. Your listeners are 3/4 audio and 1/4 video. But that's interesting that yours is so much lower. Maybe that's just because it's a hang. You have to
Little bit of a selection bias because we don't have an official video. It's usually been around 2/3, 1/3 at other shows that I've had, or a quarter, 75%. Don't you think, Scott?
Yeah, for me, it's even greater. And we're not doing, you know, stuff to make video a much more, you know, attractive thing to come to. But it's still like 90% audio for me. This smaller group that wants to do both live or archive video. But I'm with Tom on the concept of, I don't care if it's like 2%. If it's a thing that you can swing in even a basic way, you want to just like the accessibility, regardless of how people are consuming it. So, because there are still people that go to the website and click on the MP3 file, download it and listen to it by, you know, some audio reader, you know, whatever, they're Winamped for all I know. And it's nice to be able to say, yes, those people still have an option. We haven't locked them out or gated them with some new fancy way of getting to go. So, yeah, I'm kind of with you on that.
All of your personalities come across. You know, you get a whole nother layer through the video. And I think it's really fun watching the video and watching you guys interact, especially you guys know each other so long. And you can really, when you are having fun and then you dive in deep on something, it's just, it's great. Either way, audio, video, I'll just say that's a great thing about this show.
Excellent. Well, thanks, Phil. I appreciate it.
Yeah.
Thanks, Phil.
I just called you Phil out of nowhere. Is that okay, or are you Philip?
That is totally okay.
Okay, good.
In fact, we've just entered a new level of intimacy, but that's fine with me.
All right, thank you, Philip.
Can I ask one thing real quick?
Yeah, sure.
Jenny, you said you teach at New York Film Academy. I teach at New York Film Academy in New York.
What?
Like, I was literally... Here's a funny thing. I actually rescheduled my class for today. It's usually at night. I rescheduled it to earlier in the day so I could join this call.
Oh, that's awesome. I rescheduled it to earlier in the day so I could do this show.
That's awesome.
Awesome. All right. Well, we'll have to touch base through the email. All right. Take care.
All right. Thanks, Philip. I'm calling Michael next.
Michael.
I hope. Man, how do you do this, Scott?
Well, normally, I fake it.
Yeah. All right.
I do like
doing. It's like a 5,000 episode comfort level.
Well, when I add people to it, like you're doing, I'll try to be Mr. Funny Man. Like, you know, you're good at filler anyway.
Do a little dance.
Like we're doing right now. Yeah. There's this person now.
Michael's here. How's it going, Michael?
Hey, how's it going? Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you fine. Thanks for calling.
Hi, Michael.
Great, thank you. Hi, you can call me Mike. It's fine.
Oh, thanks, Mike.
New level of intimacy.
Now, Phil and Mike.
Phil and Mike.
New levels all over.
Only my wife and mother call me Michael.
I am neither of those, so I will call you Mike.
We actually do have a mutual friend, though, Tom, out here in D.C. I live in Northern Virginia.
Okay.
Yeah.
Who's that?
Someone named Daphne.
Say again?
A friend named Daphne. Hmm. She went to your wedding, actually.
Oh, wow. Okay, yeah. And a friend of my wife's as well. That's awesome.
Yes, apparently they went to college together.
Yeah. Of course. Oh, my gosh. That's crazy.
She told me that I had a total geek out moment and asked if I could, you know, like, touch her. Not in a bad
way. Everybody knows everybody.
That's hilarious. Oh, well, tell her I said hello. I haven't seen her in a while.
Yeah, I will next time I chat with her. But anyway, the question I had was, I love the little after-show shorts.
Oh, okay.
And, you know, we don't get them very often, and I don't know exactly how they're produced or if they just show up.
But, they just show up.
Okay, yeah. And I was always wondering, because I've always been interested in maybe trying to do one. I'm in the Army getting close to retiring, and I'm trying to figure out what I'm going to do when I grow up. And I like to tinker around. And I was just wondering what kind of subjects would, you know, there'd be interest in.
That's a good question. You know, we did get a handful of people in the survey who don't like the post-show things because they find them disruptive. It's not necessarily the content of them. So it's a question of, like, how do you win those people over? How do you make it fit into the rest of the stuff? Because I love that stuff. And Scott, you've made a magical, like, brilliance out of post-show stuff on the Instance.
Yeah, it's a thing that it's so organic because none of it was ever, we never requested it of anyone. It just started happening. People had ideas of little tips they could send in, and we thought, well, I don't know why we don't play these. It's not like we have to showcase them in the show, so we started tacking them on the end, and that ended up being a really cool thing because that inspired other people to do it, and I think that's kind of what's happening right now with you and your question. And the way I always do this, because I get this question a lot, hey, can we do a segment on the end of one of your shows? Current Geek has a couple as well. And my answer is absolutely, as long as it's relatively short and seems to be of interest to the audience in general, send it in. And more times out of not, they're awesome. They're always good. Are we wrong?
Yeah, and I guess what I would add to it just for our show is doesn't need to be fancy audio production, doesn't need to be anything. It's just, what is your main point? Why do you think it? Is there evidence to support it? And then you're out. Because, like, the shorter it is, and, like, our audience is so attuned and they're so smart as you are, that they'll get it. They'll get it. It's like you can script it loosely even if you want. Just write down the three main things you want to say, because sometimes they get, a little conversational and, longer, and I think probably our show is designed to be like a little bang, 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 and out. And so maybe that's the cognitive dissonance.
Right. It's like you're starting a whole second show again.
Right.
Maybe that's what bugs people. I don't know.
So it's sort of,
if you,
like,
listen to the stuff at the end of the Instance, it's very like 30 seconds, bang, done.
Yeah, we have a limit. It's a minute or something that I tell people generally. We try to stick to it. But the main thing is it does provide people who are there just for the core show. And there's some people who are like, that's all I want. I don't want any extras. And then so they don't have to. Out as soon as we kind of sign off. And then there's those that really look forward to that stuff as a nice little add-on. So it's always felt like a very natural, organic place to put it. And the way it works at DTNS feels just as organic to me. It feels good.
Yeah, and the way I always think about it, too, is like, when you're done with the show, be done. It's okay. If you didn't want to listen to the rest, it's all right. That's why I never want to, like, cut off the content too tightly, because there's always some more interesting stuff that surfaces, but like if you're out of time, it's okay. There'll be another one.
Phil just texted on Skype. It was like, that's excellent filmmaking advice as well.
Yeah, really.
Well, Mike, does that help you some?
I appreciate it. That's really great. I am a Current Geek fan. In fact, I backed your, I think it was the Kickstarter when you guys came back on, and I proudly hang my autographed poster over my desk.
Excellent.
In my basement. Awesome. But I'll play around and maybe I'll come up with something. I don't know. Military stuff is hardware and tech is what I deal with a lot. So
that would be fascinating.
That would be awesome. And also, if you ever wanted to, like, you know, come talk to us, maybe we'll have you on sometime if there's like some military tech story. So just why don't you email us at feedback@dailytechnewsshow.com and we can chat.
That would be great. I appreciate it. And I'm proud to be a backer and, keep doing the great work, everybody.
Thanks, Mike. You for your service.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Oh, no worries. Thank you.
All right.
Take care. I really like that angle because, like, that's my even talking about the Instance stuff, people have, like, a certain focus. His is military technology.
Yeah.
Like, where else are you going to get that?
And I think that's the key, is keeping it short, keeping it snappy, because I think some of the ones we had, even though they were great, felt like episodes, and somebody was listening was like, wait, how did I get this other episode of a different podcast suddenly? Mm-hmm. And so they need to feel like addendums to DTNS and supplemental. And then maybe if you want to do a podcast based on that, point people to that from that. Maybe think of it more as like a promotional sampler.
Right. If you will. One quick point, here's where you can buy more.
James C. Smith said that I shouldn't call him because he has to go, but he just wants to know, why are you so awesome?
Oh,
I assume he's talking to you guys.
No, I think he's talking to you.
I
am
talking to you, Tom. Nice try.
Hi, Tom. I've been asking for years, why are you so damn awesome?
I don't know. I don't know that I am. So that's one of those trick questions. You start answering it, and people are like, oh, so you think you're so awesome.
Wait, no. So this is my chance to say why Tom is so awesome and make him blush, which is he's a really good boss. Like, I have been known in past incidences to be a slightly difficult employee in the past. Like, I don't know. And Tom is a really fair, good way of being a boss and saying, okay, well, what are the things that you want to do and how do you want to achieve them? And here's what we're looking at. And we just have, like, a really good dialogue about a lot of – it's hard when you're in a two-person company who gets to have contributors like, you know, Scott and people like Roger who come in to help. But at the base of it is – this is two people for a long time, and that's not always an easy dynamic, and it's really to Tom's credit that it has stayed so successful for so long.
I would add something to that, and that would be this. There's a kind of integrity that exists with Tom's world and both what he'll report, how he'll report it, what he discloses, doing things like this very act that we're doing today, which I know Jenny has a ton to do with in terms of organizing it, making it happen, but still this idea of having this conversation with your base every quarter, it's enough to drive somebody like me who was stuck in traffic a little crazy being late because it was really important for me to be here and to be part of what I think is a very ethical process. And it's hard to explain, but it comes out all the time, even when you're kind of jokingly reminding us that your wife works at YouTube occasionally. That there's something in that, though, that speaks to the overall operation, which just says, hey, I'm here to give you the straight poop, and I'm going to do it in a way that is all above board, and we're going to have a real conversation, and we're going to cut through the garbage. Like, that kind of stuff is really hard to come by, whether it be podcasting, whether it be old media, new media, or any media, and I think that comes through every time. It always has for me.
Well, I'm surrounded by really good folks, and that makes it easier. And the smartest audience in the world, and that helps too. But honestly, what makes all of us awesome, I think, in this whole circle is that we are all pursuing something we really want to be doing
mm-hmm.
and are passionate about. And if that's one thing I can't recommend enough to people, it's don't do something that you hate just because you think you need to get to something that you love. Mm-hmm. It's fine to do something you don't really like because, you know, well, I have to file my taxes, you know, right? Like, I'm not talking about stuff like that. But, like, some people think, well, I should put up with this BS at my job and this job that I hate and all the people around me I hate. Man, that's just not worth it. And it's certainly easier said than done. But, yeah. To me, the key is to, like, really be connected to what you're doing.
And that's what, not to get super philosophical for a second, but that's one of the things that I've found, especially in this past year, once we were past year one of DTNS, is that you'd be amazed at how all your jobs ultimately lead you to the right job if you just keep looking and searching and, like, admit, like, I'm never able to admit that a job isn't right. They just have to boot me out the door because I won't leave, but everything contributes. Like, when I was teaching these kids a little bit, I was like, I never would have had the confidence to do this, even though I'd worked at Yahoo and worked in media, to do this until I worked for this show, because it gives you such a good grounding in education that I understood things, and I'm still figuring out how to turn it around and give it to the kids, but it's really, it's a boost, so it's pretty awesome.
All right, analysts, I see a few of you with green check marks, but just text me on the Skype if you want to be the next person for me to call.
Be the next.
Unless you're not listening.
Oh, wait, while we're waiting, and since Roger's both on mute and his picture is hidden, I'm going to say nice things about him because he can't do anything about it, which is it's been really great having Roger on this team. And like all the time, but especially when you're away, because there's really nothing better when, like, you're worried about when I'm worried about all these things when you're away, and going into the lineup and seeing it just filled out with all like the perfect stories, and then having that extra person to help and write and just like having someone to bounce things off of. And so, yeah, Roger's pretty great. Also,
Roger's
he has that
awesome.
Cute baby, which is a plus for me.
He's probably, oh, there he is.
Aha, uh-huh. See, I knew if we complimented him, he would come out from behind the picture.
I thought maybe he was just covered in diapers or something.
Look at that, there's a cute baby.
All right, we got Howard. Howard's willing to take the bait.
I wonder if he'll go by Howie. We're going to keep him here.
Oh, right. Friend. Hello, Howard.
Hey.
How's it going?
It's going good.
Is there a shorter version of Howard you would prefer us call you, or is Howard good?
No, Howard is good.
In fact, okay, good.
If you went full anything other than Howard, then you would be one of three people on the planet who I really don't like it when they call me that anyway.
All right, good to know. I'm glad we got that out of the way.
I'm going
to
call you Honest Howard.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Seriously. So what's up, man?
So one of the things that I think was heard about was doing more long form monthly with more of the contributors.
Mm-hmm.
That's something that I think it's every so often when there's a show that has Scott in it and Patrick and several, you know, there'd be a show with Patrick and Jury or something like that. Those shows just light up for me. Like the more smart people you have in the room, the better the show gets. And so I'd almost love it if there was a, hey, this month we're going to talk about wearable devices. And so we've got, you know, four people in the mix.
Yeah, I am 100% for that. It's all about logistics, scheduling, of course. But also, these folks' time is valuable. And the reason I made levels in Patreon was because I needed to be able to pay them the pittance that I pay them to be able to take the time and be on the show. So, we have the video level. And I feel like maybe another level after that would be the like monthly roundtable show,
mm-hmm.
where we could actually, you know, compensate people for that. But I agree with you, man. Like if I could squeeze more time out of these folks to be able to do more of that, I absolutely would, because I think those shows do end up being really good.
A monthly analysis of the month's tech news. Big happenings, the stuff that really went on, and kind of that summation sounds like a really fantastic time to me. It seems like it would be a lot of great voices.
And I can say, as one of the 85% that is audio pretty much always, I think the closest I get to watching the video is every so often I will peek in and watch the end of a Friday episode to see Len's illustration and then go look at the site, just because sometimes it's really nice to see how he makes it on the show. Which I think is pretty great, but I'd almost rather see that monthly call before a full-on video, because I think the Hangout works. I mean, it's not the most fabulously produced element, but audio sounds good, video looks good. It works.
Yeah, the tricky bit there would be for all the people who want like a better video or an official video version is not to make it feel like a bait and switch. Because one possibility would be to say, okay, when we get to 20,000, we do an official video feed, but we really don't change that much about it. And we also add this monthly roundtable because that's cooler. But then you're going to have a bunch of people who are like, wait a minute, the whole reason I've been pushing to get to 20,000 is I wanted this official video. Yeah. So you got to balance that stuff. If there's some flexibility in there, then yeah, maybe that's what we do.
Yeah, very cool. I think that there is stuff that we can do with the video that's worth it, because again, like this show, you know, can go other places. Mm-hmm. It's a Creative Commons show, and so we certainly can go other places in audio form, but right now we're sort of limited to where we can go in video form, because our video is just a peer in on an audio podcast. But if we were able to sort of make clean that up and make it look really good, like, who knows where it could end up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think you guys do a great job. And if you ever have any, Tom knows this, but I take requests for video for the show openers. So if you ever need, let me know. And
Howard,
write another script.
Howard, you made the Nerdtacular open, correct?
That is correct.
I will never forgive myself for forgetting to play that.
You can forgive yourself. I thought
there's
it was
always next year.
Well, thank you, Harry. We'll come up with more stuff. That'd be awesome.
All right, thanks a lot.
All right, take care. Thanks, boss.
Bye.
See you, man.
Other people on the line are like, "Nah, I'm not gonna call." They're just,
what?
Yeah, they're like, "I'm just listening. Just
I
want to
hear."
That's
I
okay.
Hear what y'all
That's
have
okay.
to say. I have to talk. You talk.
Anyone else on the Skype wants to call? Send me a message over there.
I was just gonna say, I would say a great example of a show that builds on our contributors and experts was the Max show on Wednesday with Scott and Adam, because that was perfect example of different kinds of expertise about Apple, the end user, the analyst, and like the guy who's just like all Mac. That was one of my favorite shows in a while, because it was just perfect and perfectly pegged, and it made me really happy.
Yeah, I want to do more of those kinds of shows with a, you know, where there's a topic that the contributor is good with, that the guest, that we can get a guest who's going to be good with. We're going to try something like that around TVs. I think we're going to try something like that around Africa. Mm-hmm. But I definitely want to try more of that.
I am.
Steve has a statement. I guess he doesn't want to call. But he says, "I'm about a 75% audio listener, but I'd hate to lose the video feed. I'm a visual person and would rather watch DTNS than listen to it. I just can't always watch it. I would love for us to get to that video level." He also has a question. He's like, "I thought I heard you state that one of the goals of DTNS was to help get contributors more exposure and new gigs besides presenting the Daily Tech News. What are some of your other long-term goals for the show?" That's absolutely true.
Mm-hmm.
I want this to be a platform for people to point to and say, "Hey, I do this if you're looking for analysis, et cetera." It's kind of one of the reasons we were talking about Jenny's gigs earlier.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, "Besides our contributions to Patreon and the subreddit, is there anything else that we can help you and the rest of DTNS team with to get you to attain those longer-term goals?"
Yes. Teach a person to podcast day. That would be a huge one. If there's someone that you know that would love this show, but...
Uh-oh. Jenny, your mic just went mute.
Oh, that's because I pulled out the thing. You know, it's XLR. It's an old technology. Teach a person to podcast. If you think they'd like the subject matter, just ask their permission, take their phone, give them a podcasting app, or subscribe to us on iTunes and say, "Hey, now all you have to do is click on this every day and check it out. If you don't like it, you can delete it." I have found that is the single most effective way to get people into podcasts is just like, "Give me your phone."
And Steve's on the line now.
Hey, how about that?
Good evening.
Hi, Steve.
How are we all doing?
Good.
Hi, Steve.
Thanks, boss. How are you?
I am well.
What you got?
So... You answered some of those questions. You know, I don't always have the time during the day because of work and travel to sit down and watch it. But, you know, there are other things that I'm willing as an analyst or contributor to do to help the team out if, you know, some of that additional tasks are out there and I can fit that into my schedule.
Yeah, I think it's like get people who are of your like mind about technology, but maybe aren't over that podcasting hump. Just help them out. And that goes for everybody. It's like, just take their phones and put our show on their phone if you think
yeah, it's not
like
teaching
it.
Them to make a podcast, although that's kind of cool too. It's teaching people like how to get the podcast. And I've taken to, you know, asking for that on the show sometimes, like just tell other folks about us. And that's another way to do it, is to say, "Hey, I think you'd like the show. Let me show you how to get it."
Mm-hmm. And another thing is just what Tom always says on the show is just tell people about this show, because it's amazing how many people there are in the world and how many people are into tech, but maybe not into podcasting. So there's this whole potential audience out there that might benefit from listening to this show. People who are like me, who always had a tech inclination but weren't into the specific day-to-day coverage. And, you know, this show found me, and I love it. So
funny, I have a story I've never told Tom, but because it was recent, and I just haven't had a chance, because there's nothing else wrong with the story. But anyway, I had a friend, an old friend, contact me and say, "I didn't know you were on DTNS. I said, "Oh, I'm on Wednesdays." He says, "Why didn't you tell me about this show 6 months ago? I've been listening. I would have listened the entire time I just found it." He was kind of ticked at me for not telling him that it existed in the first place, and I realized... Yeah, I mean, sometimes you just forget. You got, like, great stuff you could tell people about, and if you just stopped and thought about it, I guarantee everyone's got somebody who would love to hear about it or know about it or get it. And there's so many ways to get it now, whether it's audio, video, or some other way. So there's a real chance to spread the word that way for sure.
I feel like we're close to quantum brain injection publicity too. Mm-hmm. Audio, video, just right into the brain.
Some kind of exponential.
Exponential. Infinite.
And Steve, as far as long-term goals, my goal is to make DTNS continue to be better, to make it sustainable, to have the flexibility to pull in more cool topics and do more cool things with it, and provide that platform for people to launch off and maybe, you know, including myself, write books, you know, have other gigs, etc. So I don't know if that answers your question.
Yeah, it does. I just assume that the team is all doing a bunch of different things, and there are smaller things that maybe you need help with. I know that there are moderators for the chat room and that sort of stuff. I guess I was just looking to see where else I might be able to contribute to help make the whole DTNS team work more efficiently.
I would add to this conversation would be, and we talked about it a little bit before with other shows where people have contributed things, but sometimes we don't know that something could be better solved by somebody else. You know, for example, I do a daily trivia segment on my morning show, and because I do that, it was a thing I had to worry about every day and think about and plan on. Somebody stepped forward and said, I do this all the time anyway, I'd love to do that for you. I said, oh, okay, great. And not only did they do that, they made it better than it was ever before. It created all kinds of time savings for me so we could focus on the content, get the show out the way we needed to, and it translated to another whole quiz thing we do on Current Geek. The same person does that stuff, and they want to do it, and we didn't even know it was a thing somebody would want to do, and they stepped forward and said, hey, this little thing is something I want to do. So maybe it's just a matter of seeing something that you are good at or want to do, and then get with Tom, get with Jenny, get with whoever, and say, that thing that seems to take extra time, or that thing that you're not doing because you can only do it the one time, or whatever, I'm good at that. That kind of thing seems like the way this stuff works a lot. Just my mm-hmm. opinion, but I would throw that out there.
Okay. I know that in the survey, one of the things that I had mentioned was, I know that the show has grown organically, and you kind of embrace that. Is there any thought on trying to bring some of the very disparate domain names and, you know, chats hosted one place? We've got Diamond Club TV. Is there any thoughts on trying to work to bring the DTNS branding a little tighter to help promote and market the show a little bit better?
Some of that has to do with not being officially video, so we don't worry too much about where the video is, and it can be in lots of different places because of that. Some of that is just a broader question of how to unify the houses of Night Attack, Frog Pants, myself, Veronica Belmont, Andrew Main, which we've been... It's kind of like watching the coalescence of a planet from the primordial material mm-hmm. of an ejected sun matter. As you know, like for instance, Frog Pants channel just moved over to the same platform as the DTNS chat channel, and I think we all want to do that, but we want to do it in a way that makes sense, not a way that's just pushing people around and saying, well, you can't be over there anymore, you have to be over there. So yeah, it probably is a little more disparate than it should be, but I try to collect everything important together at dailytechnewsshow.com and make that the central point. I'm a little old-fashioned that way. Not everybody uses websites anymore. So, yeah, maybe at some point we need to come up with an app or something like the kids are doing with the Snapchats.
There's an idea.
And somebody in the survey suggested that as well. So I'm stealing that idea from that person.
Tom's personal Snapchat. Got it. We're good. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, no, those are all good thoughts and right along where we're thinking too, man.
Great. Well, keep up the great work. And I look forward to future shows.
Thanks, Steve. And
thanks.
We will try to be better about making it clear when there are opportunities for people to pitch in. That is definitely something I need to be better about.
All right.
All right. Ciao.
Have a great night.
You too. Christopher wrote, Tom, is podcasting enough to make a living off for you? Yes. I wouldn't still be doing this if it wasn't. Yeah.
I mean, it's a ramshackle business we're in. We're sometimes fiddling in the dark, has been my experience. But, yeah, we're all figuring out a way to make it work.
Well, what I love about it, I don't know if I mentioned this enough, is that my criticism of things in the early 2000s was often about people not noticing that the conditions had changed and trying to make money using the old conditions and forcing them into the new, right? And so things like Napster and Sony's Rootkit on their CDs and all of that were symptoms of that. And so what I'm trying to do is be the person who says, hey, you know what? The internet is an infinitely copyable medium. So not having commercials means that we can encourage that infinitely copyable part of it. That helps the show, because the more it's distributed, the better it is for the show. Because as long as it has the part where it says, hey, Daily Tech News Show, here's where you find it, here's how you support it, it doesn't matter if somebody ripped it off, quote unquote, and put it somewhere that I didn't authorize. It also is, you know, when you look at music, a lot of people say, well, you know, selling music isn't where you make the money anymore. You've got to tour and do stuff like that. What's the equivalent of a podcast? Is it doing consulting gigs? Is it selling books? Is it selling merchandise? We're trying to figure out. We don't have the answers. I'm not trying to say we all have the answers, but mm-hmm. when you say it's ramshackle, it's because we're all like trying all these things to say, okay, in this new order, what's the stuff that works?
Yeah,
And we've hit on a few things that work, and we are still trying to figure out others as well.
Yep. What I really love, and I've loved most about working on this show, aside from the actual working on the show, is the idea that this show is the home, but that I get to layer in other opportunities while still being able to do the show that I love. And that didn't exist the last time I was freelance. Like, you had a job, and then you had freelance or whatever, but it's like building this patchwork quilt of things that all allows you still to do the main thing that you love and be happy. And I really like that, and I really am grateful to the patrons for helping us make that possible.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, it's just Chris. Sorry, not Christopher.
JC, we'll call him.
You never know. He says, just don't want you having to go to other places to pay your bills. Want you to feel comfortable doing DTNS daily. Totally do. Not even an issue anymore. You can't stop me from doing it, frankly. But absolutely comfortable doing it. Well, that's going to wrap up this quarterly earnings call. Thank you, analysts, for your calls. Let us know on Patreon, analyst folks, what you thought, how we might be able to improve it next time. I think what we're going to do, Jenny and I talked about maybe doing another one of these towards the holiday break, because we'll be breaking. Our last show will be December 22nd, and then we'll come back with CES coverage on January 4th. But we'll have pre-recorded episodes due there, and maybe we'll have one of these be an episode where we bring in analysts for that. Thank you, Scott Johnson.
Oh, yeah. Heck yeah. I'm glad I made it. I was seriously concerned I wasn't going to, so I'm glad I...
No, I appreciate the effort to jump in. And thank you, Roger Chang and Ellie. Don't have to unmute, dude. It's fine. I just want to
acknowledge. You're there.
Yeah. Oh, there he is. Yay. And thank you, Jenny Josephson.
My pleasure. Thank you, Tom Merritt, for having this show available when I was available. It was pretty awesome.
Thank you for the timing. I know, right?
Yeah, thank you the timing. That was terrific. Wait, we can't leave without saying how awesome things about Scott Johnson.
Oh, hell yeah. No, Scott Johnson is a stand-up guy. He's one of the nicest people in the world. He's super talented. And I can't say how much of a relief it is to be able to have contributors like him that when I go in the morning to do the show, I'm like, ah, it's somebody I enjoy doing the show with who gets the show. It's amazing.
Yep.
Well, our fateful meeting in 2008 at Las Vegas Bar turned out to be all right.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Thank you to all of our bosses, all the people who support the show. We're doing this particularly for you. If you would like to be able to call in and ask a question, or even something I didn't expect, is people on Skype asking questions through text instead of calling. We'll probably encourage that. You just go to patreon.com/acedetect and back at the analyst level, and we'll let you know more next time we do one of these. See you later, folks.